All right. Thank you, Lord, for an awesome time tonight. We just praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in us. And Lord, we just ask and we pray for your help tonight, your leading. Lord, we ask that you look with mercy on us, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, so much so that our hearts shall have no room for love of anything but you, Lord. Keep us from doing anything that's going to be displeasing to you, Father. We want to be like you, Lord. We want to walk in your steps. And I pray, Lord, that you keep us from all worldliness, from all self-pleasure. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to live filled with your Holy Spirit and to be led continually by your Spirit. And Father, we ask that you put your will in us to wholly serve you and to surrender totally everything to you, Lord. And that would make no provisions for our flesh at all, Lord. Praise God forevermore. And we ask, Lord, that you put your faith, great and bold faith in us to believe that when we pray, it's going to happen in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for an open heaven tonight, an open heaven, Lord, that when we pray, we know it's going to be answered. In Jesus' name, we thank you for all the great testimonies that's going to be shared tonight. And we praise you for it, Father. Lord, I just ask and I pray that you lead each and every one of us to say the things that you would have us to say. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Okay. Has anybody got any prayer requests? By the way, it's good to have you, Jay. Yes, David, go ahead, brother.
Before I say my prayer request, Tuesday I mentioned how Sunday night was a very fearful night for me. And after the call, I only realized what has happened. And what I believe it was a test. And all of Monday, I had a question to God. I was like, God, why did something like this happen? I've never had so much fear in my life. And I get verses of the day on my phone every day, and I like to read them. I usually read them right before I go to work. And the verse came up Tuesday, and I realized I had such an amazing day Tuesday after this verse. And in the verse said, he is like a tree planted. It's Psalm 1:3. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaves do not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. And to me, that was very encouraging. And I knew that God has brought that test to see where I was in my faith. And he was trying to see where I turned to if something fearful like that happens. To see who I turned to. And when I turned to Jesus, he showed me the verse the next day, and I had such a happy day, blessed day, that and encouraged me. And I'd like if you guys could pray so God strengthens me even more. And so I get even stronger in the Lord and his word.
Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up David to you. Lord, we thank you for his heart. He's got a heart for you, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father. We ask and we pray, Father, that you fulfill his request, that you fill him up with more of you, Lord. more of you. And we command fear to go from him. We command understand. We ask you, Lord, to put more understanding and wisdom into him. And Lord, that when he would open up that word, that it would, these revelations would come forth like a neon sign, Lord. And he'd peel back the layers of his, of the word itself, that you'd peel it back for him, Lord, and show him the understanding that he needs, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We ask that you mature him quickly, Lord. And you are, I can tell. And I thank you, Father, for doing it for David. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in him. I ask, Lord, that you fill him up with your Holy Spirit right now. So much so that there's not any David left, that he's only got you, Lord, and he's walking like you, right in your footstep. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Receive it, David, because it's there. Praise God forevermore. Amen. Whew, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. My. All right. Anyone else? So all y'all know Jay from down there, down under? Well, Petra's not from down under. She's from over there in South Africa, for goodness sake.
Petra from the other under. Not Africa under. Yeah, Jay has reached out to us just a couple of weeks ago, and we were amazed. He's in Sydney, so it's on the mainland of Australia, and we're in Tasmania, and so he called me the other day, and it was wonderful to have a chat to him. I mean, Jay told me that he's been listening to UBM since 2000.
Amen.
Read every single book and has never missed a broadcast ever since then. That's wonderful.
Amen. One of these days we'll all get together. In the sweet by and by, as they say. Amen.
Guys, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can.
Okay, look, I want to thank, I just saw... Rion and Claire, I want to thank them for everything, and so good to catch up, guys. I don't want to waste too much time. I just want to say, since it's the first time, I joined like UBM, like Rion said, 2000, and my life went many different ways. I went through the tough time, tribulation, kind of, for about 6-7 years. I suffered greatly. Then when I recovered, my wife went after me with a similar issues. She's coming out right now out of it. And we never feel better than ever before, you know. At this time, our lives are coming together. So great, and I don't have words to express, you know, how blessed I am, guys. It's not just words. I've been studying the Bible for, I would say, 1994, in a little Armenian fellowship, you know, Armenians. Then I went Calvinist, and then I went all over the place. I was searching, looking. I found UBM when I realized that USA is the Babylon, you know. I knew that in the spirit. And then I was looking, searching for sites who agree with that statement. This is how I came across UBM. And that was year 2000. I got sick 2011 and was very tough. I was it's a miracle how I survived. David is very familiar. I was sending my letters to David, some dreams and stuff. And I don't know. I mean, I thank God more than anything, of course. I don't worship UBM, you know. I just praise our Father. I know him, and I know he knows me. And I just thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. That's all I have to say for now. Thank you. Amen.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We're all brothers and sisters here on this little fellowship here. We just ain't nobody any bigger than anybody else. We all love the Lord. And I'm telling you what, Jay, we're coming in one accord here. We got some power in this bunch here, power of God.
Amen.
And the love of God, that's what's bringing us all together. It's the love of God. Praise God forevermore.
Love of the truth.
Amen. Yes, in the love of the truth. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Hi, Gano.
Hi. I got a text from Debbie, and she asked for prayer on a couple different things for her daughter, Victory.
Okay.
The first one was about her car. You know, just to pray that I think her neighbor has a friend who is a mechanic, and he's checking it out for her, and we're just wanting to believe that it's not going to be anything major, because it seemed like all at once the fluid gushed out, and so he's thinking maybe it was just a hose, but it may be some other kind of a line, something that has to do with the transmission. And so that's one part of the prayer request. And then the other was that the Lord would work a miracle so that that Victory could be released from that bondage to the court system up there, because it's something that's gone on for a couple years. And so far they're not willing to let it go. Every month she has to go in, and then they delay it to the next month, or postpone it, I guess. And she was just praying, wanting us to pray that it would be dismissed, so that she wouldn't be under that bondage, and that she could move down here to Tennessee, because for right now, they will not let her move out of the state where she is presently. And so she was wanting prayer for that. She says she knows it's going to be spiritual warfare is what's holding all this up. Okay. So if you care to pray.
Okay. You want to pray? You want me to?
I can, and then you can add, okay?
Okay. Yes, ma'am. You go ahead.
All right. Father, we thank you that you sent someone to help Victory to check out her car, and we are believing that it's not going to be anything serious. We know that you alone can repair all things, whether it's a body or whether it's a machine, whether it's a car. And we're just believing that it's healed. And if it does need something, it's something minor, not a big deal. And we thank you for that. And we also pray that you would work that miracle to get this case that's against Victory, to get that dismissed. They're wanting her to plead guilty, but she said she's not going to, because she hasn't done whatever it is they're accusing her of. So, we just thank you, Father, for working that out for her, and know that she's going to be victorious in this, and she will be able to move to Tennessee and be here with the rest of us. So thank you, Father, for what you're working in Victory and in those circumstances that are kind of keeping her bound. Thank you, Father, and we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that hose that's busted is going to be easy to get to, easy to replace, and very economical, cheap.
Right.
In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that there has been no problems with the transmission from this point on, in Jesus'
thank
name.
You, Lord.
She's going to have, well, she's got victory in that car, in Jesus' name. And
thank you,
Lord, we ask that you loose your angels right now to go and fix this court problem. Father, we ask that you place it in the judge's heart to release her completely from this court message that the enemy has gotten her into. We break the power of Satan over this court mess in Jesus' name right now, and we command freedom from that system in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that she'll be moving to Tennessee very soon in the name of Jesus. And we just praise you, Lord, because we know it's already happening. We know your angels are on the job, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for changing that judge's heart, the prosecutor's heart, and whoever else is involved in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for freeing up victory to come down with her brothers and sisters. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And her mama.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Glory to God. It is so. Yeah, we're going to see her soon.
Yes, we are.
All right. Let's see. 716. Is that Tracy? Is that you? No, who is that? Dominique. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's me. So I'm doing okay right now, but, you know, I was doing really good for a while. I felt like I'm fire for the Lord again, but I just kind of slipped up again a couple of days ago a couple of days ago. I feel good still. Like I'm not like condemning or anything, but I don't want to keep giving into this lust of the flesh and everything. And, what's weird is it happened when I was fasting and it kind of discouraged me. So I've been kind of like, you know, back and forth. And usually when I slip up, I start to kind of like not lose my sanity, but I do kind of feel like clouded headed and, you know, I act a little irrationally, you know. So I don't know. It's been a struggle to continue to read and everything. And, like I feel at my best when I'm helping people and reading with them and talking to them and explaining stuff. But then I feel at my worst when I'm just at home or something like that and I'm distracted with other stupid stuff. And I can't really seem to break away from distractions, you know. So I just need a little bit of prayer for that, if you guys don't mind.
Okay.
Or advice, too, whatever.
Okay. Well, Father, we just lift up Dominique to you. And, Lord, we thank you for relieving him of all of this distraction. Lord, we ask and we pray, Lord, that you put his mind on you, that he would put his mind on you. And while he's got his mind on you, the distractions will go. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we ask and we pray that he would listen tonight, because tonight we're going to talk about that, just that. It's distractions and self and all of that stuff. And Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you for putting bold faith in Dominic to believe that he can walk like you, Lord. Holiness walk. And we praise you, Father, for doing that for Dominic. Thank you, Lord. Doing a quick work in him too. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Does anybody else want to pray? Go ahead, Julie.
Yeah, I'd like to add on to that a little bit. Father, thank you for Dominic. Thank you for his heart, for his life, for what you're doing in him, Lord, and your plans for Dominic. And I would just, I just bind up any spirits that are causing him to feel like he has to be in works, that he has to be doing something all the time. Lord, I pray that you give him grace just to rest in you and help him to keep his focus and to hear your voice, just get quiet before you. And we need to fill ourselves, Lord, with your word, with your spirit, and to refill ourselves, Lord, when we are doing any kind of ministry, Lord, we still need to be fed ourselves. So I just pray, Lord, that you show Dominic if this rings true in any way, Father, and you give him grace just to abide in you and continue to be led of you and not feel like he has to do something. I pray this and I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Keep him in the rest, Lord. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else?
I'd like to pray, but before I'd like to give a praise report. Willie called me last night and said that he sensed at the house where my daughter is too. That's his mom. Willie and Tanya, he said that he felt a heaviness in the house, and we've been coming against the demons off and on for weeks now, and there's been changes, but every so often demons come in again, and when they come in, they have come in, but when they have come in, there's an oppression and a heaviness. And so we just prayed against those demons last night. And in the process, I was talking with Tanya too. And after we were done praying, I was kind of letting her know what usually brings them in, you know, but we've been, because we've been praying against them, it's not as heavy as it was before. And Tanya's, because of the prayers and her getting close to the Lord, she is gaining more of the Lord's nature, to the point where she has a heart towards her husband, which before she had bitterness and hardness of heart towards him because of the demons that were using him against himself. And but she gave me some praise reports about him just recently, which really blessed me. He got some incentive money from the government. He's on disability, but usually in the past, he would, when he get any extra money, he would just want to spend it on himself and use it unwisely. Well, this time, he decided he wanted to get a mower for the house, for the yard, because they're riding mower went out. So he found a riding mower that was used, even though it was almost brand new, it was used, and he got it. And that was a very big plus, because he was always for himself before. And she could encourage, before in the past, she would encourage him to that, well, we have this to pay, we got this to get and this to get. And it just seemed like it would go out the window whenever she would talk to him about those things. But, and also he's going to use that, some of that severance money. He wants to use that to get a new refrigerator, because the refrigerator is getting bad. So I like to pray about that. Plus today, this morning, I don't know what had happened, but I had, I had a good prayer time with him and good speaking. And this morning, after my nap, I woke up and I was so woozy in the head, so dizzy in the head. I don't know what hit me, but I prayed against it, but it wanted to hang on. It's not like it was when I first got up, but it's still wanting to hang on. And I'd like to have prayer over that. So Lord, I just lift up, Willie and Tony and Bill, Bernie. And I pray, Father God, whatever you want to do in them, that Bernie would hear from you and he would be obedient to you, and he would, get things straightened out in that house, whatever there's needs for, that he would consider those things like he did with the mower. And I thank you, Father, that Tanya's heart's turning, has compassion towards him, like she didn't have before. And I thank you, Father, for that. And I pray that she continues to pray for him in the midst of all these trials and comes against the enemy when the enemy wants to come. And thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I don't know why I had this dizziness and feeling sick to my stomach, but I come against it in the name of Jesus. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Devil, you have to go from me. No sickness is to be a part of me in any way, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. David says, let's bind witchcraft coming again. Okay, we do. We bind it and cast it down as null and void in Jesus' name. All witchcraft curses spoken against this fellowship are cast down right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Father, glory to God. Is that Judy with you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, yeah. iPad Judy. What's up, girl?
Oh, yeah.
There you are.
We're good.
Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Anybody else got a prayer request or testimony or praise report? Yeah, Mariana, go ahead.
So Sorry, that wasn't my hand. These are mine. That's this little guy's.
All right. All right. He tried to get old camera in.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? All right. What about a testimony? Praise report. Let's hear some good news.
Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I had a wasp sting my finger last night. It was in our bedroom. I thought I killed it, but he wasn't dead. And I went to pick him up to put him outside, and he still was alive, and he didn't like that. So I rebuked that, and about a minute or two, it went away, and then it came back, and then I rebuked it again, and my finger's fine. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. God. I remember it's been a couple, two, 3 years ago. I got popped 5 times around my head and my neck. And I said, I rebuke any kind of poison coming into my body in the name of Jesus or any kind of inflammation. I didn't experience any of that. It hurt when he initially jabbed me, but after that, it was gone. So, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Judy ain't got to put up with that man. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Geneva.
You said a prayer the other night about good sleep. I like good sleep. And that night, I went to bed, and usually I wake up in the middle of the night, go get water, use a bathroom or something like that, but I slept completely through the night. And that was the day, too, that I was kind of feeling, like, groggy, you know, but I wasn't receiving it all day in Jesus' name. And I still don't receive it, and I'm thankful, and neither does Morgan, and so we're believing and thanking the Lord for his healing. But anyways, it was a good sleep that night, and I believe in our prayers.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yep, I slept good, too. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Benita, go ahead.
I just wanted to say what a blessing it was last week, or on Tuesday, to have that song at the very end of our fellowship, because I went to bed and all these things that everybody was talking about, all these spirits, demon spirits and everything, were trying to attack me, and I just kept playing that song over and over in my head, and it just wiped it right out, and that song was just such a blessing and just at the right time.
Okay. All right. Who was that? Was Geneva, wasn't it? Had that.
Yeah, I'm glad, because at first I was like, should I send it? And I was like, no, I'm going to send it. It's repetitive, but it definitely gets stuck in your head. I sing it all the time, so.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? I got 2 pages of people here, for goodness sake. Golly. Check around. Let's see who's all here. All right. Tonight. Oh, go ahead, Patrick.
Before we get started, I just wanted to pray for my family. Father, thank you for bringing my children and bringing the awareness that you provide us all. Lord, we thank you that unless the Father draws people, they cannot see you. They cannot perceive and desire you. Lord, I thank you. You told Nicodemus that unless one be born again, can't even see the kingdom of God. So, Lord, I just claim that repentance. I claim that that fulfillment of desire within them to turn, within my family, within my near relatives, Lord, all the people that I'm talking to, Lord, I thank you because you are getting ready to do something pouring out your spirit in these last days. And Father, I just thank you. I ask you just to prepare them. And I believe they're being prepared. I believe that you are preparing all that will have ears to hear and to respond to your spirit as they seek you through these times. Lord, I just claim this for all of our families. Lord, many times that we, the things that we say or the things that we speak, the perspective that we come across with sometimes is rejected. It's quickly rejected. But Lord, you command us to speak these things. You command that you mentioned that unless you spoke these things to the Pharisees, that they would be without sin. Obviously, if these things weren't spoke to them, but now that you spoke, now that you revealed, they were now responsible to deal with it. So, Lord, we know that you have a place for that within these environments that we're all in. So we just thank you, Lord, that your spirit is leading us, continuing to guide us through, to speak forth, claim your word. I claim your word tonight, Lord. For household salvation, for me, my family, and for everyone in this group, Lord, that is claiming for others that are far away and rejecting. Lord, I know that when you brought me into your kingdom, that I was just as rebellious and reactionary against Christians as I could be. But Lord, you knew. You knew that there was a seed there. You knew that there was a desire there. And I'm thanking you for that desire, not only that you put within me, but that you put within everybody. Everybody that you are calling, you give them that same desire, whether it's hidden behind rebellion or anger or whatever. It doesn't matter. Excuse me. So I thank you, Lord. I just pray this blessing upon all of our families in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for doing that for all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Somebody was waving at me a while ago. Who was it? Okay. Tonight, the question we posed was the biggest obstacle that hinders most people's walk with the Lord. And why? And how? And when? We'll probably add some more. All right. Anybody want to hazard a guess? Greg says Facebook. Well, it doesn't matter because I don't mess with it. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I think you kind of told us earlier, and I think the biggest obstacle would be the self-life. And, over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you got man's spirit and the world's spirit. Well, we don't want either of those. We want to have God's spirit in us. We need God's spirit to help us live the life he's given us in Christ Jesus. You know, the spirit life of God in us. And this self-life, it makes people say things, you know, like there's how many thousand denominations, and they all have these sayings, mantras. So you got 44,000 different self-life opinions. And this is what made all this mess in Christendom we have now. And even, you know, you might even have some people putting down someone in their own denomination, you know, and you would be scratching your head going, well, why is he doing that? He belongs to the same club here. And so I think self-life is really wrong. And it's, you know, I sometimes wonder about this because the people after the resurrection of the first resurrection, there's going to still be some people left here on the planet. And I sometimes wonder if that's all they're going to have is their self-life. Even though like the devil and everything is put in chains, they're not going to be able to experience the difference between self-life and the flesh. And so how could they possibly get saved? I sometimes wonder about that. So, well, I think it's self-life anyway. It leads to a lot of mistakes. Self-lovers in Timothy, then there's right next to it, money lovers. And, you know, if you got lots of money, you're going to be a self-lover. I'll tell you that much for sure. And that they sort of go hand in hand, I think. Anyways, praise God.
Amen. Self-life, yes, it is. Anybody else want to expound on that? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
I asked the Lord about that yesterday. Actually, when you mentioned it, and one thing it just came to me, and it was when you said, "What is the biggest obstacle that hinders our walk with the Lord?" And I thought of ourself. And then as I got to looking at that word, I separated it to kind of help and place it in perspective. And it comes out as our self. And there's a separation there between us and self, our self. You ever heard that that line that self is flesh backwards without the H or whatever? I don't know what the saying is, but it is kind of interesting. You flip flesh backwards in itself. But as I was thinking about it, that's kind of a quick one-liner that we tend to fall into sometimes. And you say, what's your problem? Well, it's the flesh. I have a problem with the flesh. But what is it about ourself that creates the problem? And I kind of just boiled it down into a one-liner, and the problem is our dependence upon our self, the powers or the abilities of our self. And we tend to, I guess I tend to lean to that first. That's my first, tendency is to lean to how I can do it, how I can knock this out, how I can fix it. And it takes a little bit of learning restraint to kind of put the kibosh on that quickly, initially, and look for alternatives or options in the spirit. What is God trying to show me through this process? But I kind of just boiled it down to that one thing, and that is our dependence upon self and how God needs to take us through situations that tend to strip the power or take us beyond the ability of that self to save us. So that's kind of my thoughts about it.
Amen. I wrote down a couple of things here that I'm going to throw out there. Yep, I need more cross for the self. How can a man be dead to sin if he's not dead to self? Can that happen? That's a question. Yeah, Judah.
It is by faith. That's how I think we, you know, we overcome it is, you know, fighting against it is, you know, when we mess up, when we goof, when we give in to our flesh, we have to repent of it, confess it, get rid of it, and confess, no, I am dead to that. It doesn't exist anymore. And you know, it's not anything we're able to do. It's of our own strength or anything. It is all faith. We just keep believing God to do this and in us, and he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of self-control or sound mind or however you want to, your version of the Bible is. So we have to learn. It's, to me, it's learning to rely on in the temptation to rely on God's strength and not try to fix it myself, not try to overcome it even myself. It's Lord help me. I'm failing. I'm staggering. I'm really tempted here. Lord, strengthen me, whatever it is. But we are to reckon ourselves dead to whatever that sin is and alive unto God, and we're crucified with Christ. It's all confession unto salvation. And learning how to use that sword, learning how to use the word of God over the flesh and stay on your cross and not open up your mouth. A lot of times it's not opening up the mouth when it's a vocal thing or, you know, however, whatever the situation is. So it's all learning. It's all learning. That's all.
Amen. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, he gave us two ears and one mouth. Remember that old saying? Two ears to listen. In other words, we ought to be listening more than we ought to be mouthing, flapping our jaws. Sometimes that's some of my problem. Maybe a lot of time. All right. Anybody else on self? Here's another thought. When you get rid of self, you get rid of sin also, don't you? The more self goes, the less sin there is. Yeah, Anna, go ahead.
I think a big part of the flesh and self for me is thinking I have rights of any kind.
Who is that's not needed? Oh, okay. Sunil, how's it going?
Hi.
glad you could join us, brother.
Sorry, my mic was on.
Yep, that's me. How you doing, brother?
Good. How are you been?
Blessed, man. I am blessed beyond my wildest dreams.
Thank God.
Yeah. Everything okay with you?
Still maintaining status quo. Wish it could be better, though. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, bless you, brother. If you have any questions, just let us know.
Sure.
All right. I'm going to mute you, okay? You know how to mute and unmute, don't you? All right.
Yeah. So, sorry, I forgot. I didn't notice that it was not on.
That's there. Okay. That's all right. No problem. Okay. All right, Judy or Sue, go ahead.
Did you?
Yeah. In Ephesians 4:22-24, It says to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. We just have to get rid of doing the things that we really like to do that is just not right, and start living like Jesus did. Walk with Jesus and follow, and carry your cross. Then we just got to quit doing all those things that we thought we liked that isn't really what the Lord wants us to do. Thank you, Lord, for helping us do those things. In Jesus' name.
Amen. We got to want the Lord more than we want ourselves. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
I was just wondering how the self-life might apply to the parable of the sower in the third land, where the third land is the land, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. There's also the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where it talks about the children of Israel who ate and drank and rose up to play. You know, they had lots of self-life there. That's what I got out of that one. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, not 11, but the seventh verse, when he gives the examples above it. So that was something they had a problem in the wilderness too with. So, too much self-life. So how does the self-life apply to, constantly preoccupying yourself with the things you have, you know? I know you got to wash your dishes. Mine aren't done, so I didn't do any self-life today. Or you know, you gotta clean the bathroom every once in a while too, you know. So, but what about all the other things, you know? Like I hear some people like going fishing here and stuff, you know. Or how much is overkill, you know? Or is it not overkill if you're with someone, and when you're going fishing, you're going to discuss something about spiritual fishing with them, and. Anyways, just this self-life. What are some of the parameters when you think you've gone too far, I guess is the question.
Well, that's a good question. When you've gone too far is when you know that you're not supposed to do it, you go ahead and do it anyway, I guess, huh? Yeah, Tim.
Kind of leads to what I was thinking about here. I didn't know if I was going to share it or not, but when Andrew asked, where do you go too far? And it's when you're trying to please men rather than please the Father. And amen. My thought, what I was kind of leading into, or what I was thinking about, was, except you become as a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And I was thinking about a little child, you know, is relying on their parent. But another thing that was kind of throwing a wrench into that was that a little child, I mean, we all seek our parents' approval, you know, and that when you're a baby, oh, look at he's standing up. Oh, look at he's crawling. Oh, he can feed himself, you know. And all those things. But the Lord, when we're a little child, you know, we don't hear the Lord's approval on any of that stuff. And so we kind of get ingrained in us that pleasing man is our reward, and our excitement is when somebody's making a big deal about what we're doing. And so that you know, I think that leads us into a whole downward spiral in the world, is seeking men's approval, because we're not hearing anything from the Lord when we're little. And so when we're born again, we cast out all that, you know, that bad thinking, and we just look to please the Lord. And when our actions are pleasing the Lord more than they're pleasing men, I think that we're on the right side of that equation that Andrew was asking about.
Amen, Tim. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I'm glad Tim brought that up, because I think that's the biggest problem with people in religion, is they're always trying to please men. They're always in that religious group, and they're worried about what others think while they're in that group. And they're always trying to please the pastor, or, you know, they get you involved in these groups or something, committees or whatever they're doing. They keep you busy, and you're trying to please the church. You're trying to please men. You think you're serving God, and you're doing all these busy things, and, you know, you're not really getting any closer to the Lord. They, you know, you have people in churches for all their life, and they don't really grow up and have any maturity in Jesus. So while we're here, and many of us do this, we stay in the scriptures and we study on our own. And of course, we get involved in these discussions, and it kind of makes us search our hearts in the word a little bit to find out what the truth is and some of the truths are. And so during this process, it helps put you on your cross, because now you're trying to abide in Christ and walk as he walked when we're discussing these things. And we realize the whole point in the walk on life, especially if a Christian, is you really are always going to have a place of correction. You're always going to have to be a place where you can be wrong, and you have to come and repent and turn. But it's not like it's always a constant life of trying to be a Pharisee, where you're always trying to make sure that your hands are washed just a certain way, and your garments on a certain way, and nobody can get near you, and then you're holy and nobody else is. That's not a walk of sanctification. There's nothing liberating about that. The liberation is a liberation that God sets you free from your sins, and you walk in faith for the others. That's the liberation we have. And the liberation is the Lord's going to help you get on that cross. You can't do it. You know, you're going to go and trust the Lord to help you do these things. If you're trying to do it on your own, you're doing the religious work. That religious work's going to fail. Now, that's what grace is supposed to be about. That's what the New Testament's all about. That's what's coming in the name of Jesus and realize what the gospel's all about, is he did that on the cross for you. So now it's our time to receive it by faith and to walk in newness of life, that the Lord's going to perform this good work in you. And it's not you that's going to bring yourself into the kingdom. It says by his grace and his love, we just have to cooperate in that process. So we want to make sure we're Andrew was talking about the, he was trying to find out where this line is, where this comfortable zone is. The coming into that rest is what we're talking about. Where do we find that rest? Where it's not us, it's the Lord, but we have confidence in the Lord and the word. We have confidence in ourselves and faith in what he says. We're walking by faith and not by sight. That's where the walk has to go. That's where we're worried about the self-life. Well, the self-life starts to take a nosedive when we're walking by faith and be led by God, because those are the sons of God, will be led by the Spirit of God. And that's what we're striving to do. That's why there's such a failure in religion, because they're not being led by the Spirit of God. They're being led by another spirit, a religious spirit. That was a problem with the Pharisees. They were being led by a religious spirit. We don't want to become Pharisees. We want to be sons of God. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit. So make that your goal. Make that your aim. Make that your, they hear that small voice in your head and discernment and always be seeking after the Lord, like Pat does. And we all, a lot of us do, and Michael and Rianne and Claire, everybody, and Barry and Marilyn and Julie, we all, and everybody, Joe, Angela, everybody, just, and David, we all sit there and try to find that voice, that still small voice. We're always looking for the leading of the Lord in good or bad situations. And that's how we're walking that walk and coming into this life. That's when we're putting the flesh on the cross, is because we're being led by God. We're being led by the Spirit of God at that point. That's just my thoughts.
I wanted to, that's good, David. Thank you so much. I want to say what Sunil put in the chat, Romans 8:5, because that was on my mind too. For they that are after the flesh demand the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That is a good one. Go ahead, Lana or Theo.
I just wanted to comment on Andrew's question earlier about the boundaries. The first thought that came to mind is, because I grew up in a legalistic church system as well as a religious family, we had a lot of that no fishing on Sundays and too much fishing and too much indulging, and it didn't matter what it was. But to me, what came to mind was, at any time when we intentionally do something without the Lord, whether it be the Lord on our mind, the Lord guiding in our spirit, the Lord anything, when we intentionally avoid the Lord in order to do something, we are living a self life. We are selfish. That's all.
Amen. Good point. Very good point. Go ahead, Rion or Claire, or both.
Just a quick story, I suppose, that relates to this is with the three kids here, you know, trying to raise them in a Christian home and teach them the way they should go. We're always very aware of not wanting to raise little Pharisees, right? To just always be good and do the right thing, because even that's self-works. And I was talking, we've had a bit of a week of talking a lot about, or a couple of days talking a lot about kindness and gentleness and, you know, speaking nicely to each other for obvious reasons. And I was talking to Daniel at bedtime, and him and Tabby share a bunk bed, and he's at the bottom. So I'm talking to him about that, and he asked me a couple of questions, as he does. He's got always some good ones there that you need the Holy Spirit to help you. I think he asked, how do you get into heaven or something like that? And I was talking about that, and Tabby said, oh, and she's at the top listening, and she said, oh, I know. I said, okay, go ahead. And she said, well, bless her. She said, God has got a list of all the bad things that you've done. And then he's got a list of all the good things that you've done. And then if your list of good things is more than your bad things, then you can go and get into heaven. And I said, oh, all right. Okay, well, let's talk about that, because that's, so I asked her, I said, well, If we then ask God to forgive us for the bad things we've done, right? And we repent and we turn away from it. What does he do with it? And we chatted about that. He said, well, he takes that list and he throws it away. Like he burns it, it's gone. So there's no more list of wrong things that you've done, bad things that you've done, right? So now if you do a good thing, it's not, you can't weigh it against the list of bad things anymore, because that doesn't exist anymore. So why do we, so then if you're saying that's how we get into heaven, why do we then do good things? Why are we kind and gentle, and why do we want all these fruits of the Spirit? I said, no. And she was to think about it. And I said, well, the reason we then live in this way is because we are so grateful to God for throwing that list away. That's why. It's because we want to honor him and we want to praise him and we want to glorify him, to say, wow, look, when we enter into this courtroom, this judge doesn't even have that list anymore. He's completely forgotten about it. And that's why we then do it, because anything else is the self then, or anything else then is us then trying to have a better list than the bad list. And oh, it was so wonderful to say, well, that's why we do everything. It's because we live our lives out of grace. We live our, everything we do is because, for one, we still can't do it ourselves. We still need Jesus to do that, even though God has thrown that other list away. And even that makes us even more grateful and more wanting to praise him and honor him. And that's the whole purpose of our life. That's all of it, is that we, it's no longer us that live, but it's now Christ who lives in us. And obviously that's, he's the one who goes to heaven, not us. And that's a bit difficult to explain to the little ones, but they seem to, it'll get there by faith. But I just thought it's so wonderful that even though they've heard about grace and they've heard about these things that God do, like they still have this idea of works, that, oh, we've got to be good. And I said, well, that makes us no different to any other religion. No different to the Hindus or Muslims or that they're learning about. And because what makes us different is that grace, is that's why we are so grateful. And that's why when they talk in the Bible that we are we have joy in tribulation, because now we can suffer just like Christ suffered, because we don't have a list of bad things anymore. It's all gone. It was really wonderful to hear from a childlike perspective.
I think we'd be surprised to understand that most of the church believes that. Go ahead, Angelica.
Michael, did you have an original question? I think I missed it.
Yeah. The biggest obstacle that hinders most people's walk with the Lord. Oh. And we have determined that it was you.
Okay.
Me.
I'm sorry. No. Yeah, I had a little something to share about that. I was just listening to everyone. And, you know, this is obviously this is an issue for me too, you know. You know, just overcoming by degrees, and certain things are more painful than others. But, you know, just the self nature, you know, it's the self is the nature of Satan. It's the fallen nature. It's self is, you know, Adam's, when, you know, Adam fell, he received the fallen nature of the evil one. And the entire world, you know, the systems of man, the ways of man, the thinking of man, you know, reasoning, education, whatever, you name it, is of the evil one. Even if there's no, you know, some things, there's no evil in and of itself, but if everything has been perverted by the reasoning of the evil one, because the minds of men are corrupted by demonic spirits and by the demons and all of those things. So, you know, the Bible says that, you know, in Romans, I think it's 6:16, do you not know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one that you obey, whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? And so when God in his mercy and grace comes to us, we are learning to undo by his grace, by his word, by his power, this fallen nature that we have always walked in. You know, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. We realize that those things were bondage, although those were the things that we wanted the most. That was self wanting that. But when God came and set us free from self and those bondages, we realized that your self is there to kill you, you know, to destroy you. That's the nature of Satan, is there to destroy you. And so, you know, walking in that freedom, there's just nothing better. But, you know, the other contrast example would be Jesus and his life, right? He said, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. And Jesus, it said he emptied himself, you know, taking the form of a servant. And I think that's what all the kingdom of heaven is, you know, even the Father, he has the heart of a servant. And, you know, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we have this contrary nature that, you know, like we think we're greater than the Father, that we should serve self and only self. And that's just the nature of the devil. But Jesus is supposed to be our example, and we're supposed to be relearning to live in a new kingdom, in a new world. And
And a lot of people try to take that old nature that benefited them in the world, you know, I've been guilty too of, you know, competition and, trying to, you know, be, you know, glory, you know, get glory for self or, you know, recognition or whatever, all of those things that make the self feel important or have value. Those things have no value in the kingdom. You know, the greatest among you is your servant. And let's face it, being a servant, you get dumped on a lot. You know, you don't really get thought about. And it's like no one in the world really wants to be in that position, but yet that God says that's the greatest position. And so it's totally contrary to everything we've ever been taught in our mind, our will, our emotions, you know, you know, it's all been taught, you know, according to the wisdom of man, according to the wisdom of this world, which is an evil one. And so, you know, when we fail in the kingdom of God, thinking that we can take these attributes of self and use them to gain a position in Christ or, you know, more stature or whatever, and we fail because God will have none of the old man. And so we have to give it up. We have to give up that self at every moment where we have a choice, you know, my plans or God's plans, you know, my way or God's ways, my thinking or God's thinking, you know, my reasoning or his word. And, you know, if you love me, you'll obey me. And I've kind of said this a lot. I always say, you know, there's a million and one reasons why we wouldn't want to obey, right? In the natural, there's only one reason why you would. And that's because you love him and you give up the self, you give up the pleasure, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, everything that the flesh wants is basically to kill you. You know, your old man is there to destroy you. And so you have to come out of agreement with that, even though it feels good. You know, if sin wasn't fun, people wouldn't be doing it, you know. But is there to kill you, is there to destroy you, and you have to flee from fornication, you have to flee from sin, you have to, you know, you have to look at it like it is your grave enemy, because it is. And you know, it cut, you know, that's just in every form and every fashion. And as we continue to walk with the Lord, the road gets tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter, narrow, and God's requiring more. The little things that, you know, a new born again Christian would look at you like, that's not a big thing. You know, they have no conviction about those things, but they, you know, the more God gives of you, the more he requires of you. And so the road gets tighter, but at the same time, the glory gets greater. The more of self you give up, the more of God you get, the more of Christ you get, the more your nature changes into his, and the more you're able to walk in this kingdom and operate in this kingdom and be of service to the King, then, you know, and that's the greatest honor that any one of us can have. So I just wanted to say that.
Amen. All right. So we've established that we need to die to self. So how am I going to kill myself? Somebody help me out here. I don't care nothing about killing myself.
Michael?
Yes.
There are, you know, we have to recognize first when we're with our thinking, what are those thoughts? Are they of the self or are they of Christ? If they don't line up with the word of God in the way of blessing, for instance, the fruit of the Spirit, if those thoughts don't line up with the fruit of the Spirit, all those love, joy, peace, and all that, if they don't line up with that, then we have to ask ourselves, do they line up with the flesh? You know, as far as if we're angry, mad, irritated, disgusted, any of those things that are negative, they can't be of the Spirit. They got to be I would say they'd have to be of Satan, you know, especially when we're dealing with people. And we don't always get that, but we have to recognize when the flesh is operating out of ourselves and cast it down, because that's what the word says. It says we're to cast down every imagination and high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That means we need to bless and not curse. We need to speak life and not death. We need to just check out where our heart is. And if we have a problem with it, just give it to the Lord and let him work on it. It's funny. My daughter's been texting me because she's been battling these thoughts. I need to give her this message. So anyway, yeah, it's just recognizing what's of God and what's not, what's of the spirit, what's of the flesh, because the flesh doesn't profit anything. It doesn't give us life. It gives us death. It doesn't do anything good for us. It's evil because it's Satan's nature. You know, like the sister said, and we're never going to win. It's like, there's some things that just came to me recently. Like, you know, we can either be a victory, or be a victim. If we're in the flesh, we're a victim. And that's Satan using us against ourselves. If we're in the spirit, then we're a victor. We're a victor in Christ. So anyway, amen.
Victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. Go ahead, Pat.
I think the thing that I was thinking of is that, excuse me just a second. It was nice of me to bless mute you. That while I coughed. Is that it's not people that put us on the cross. And it's not circumstances that put us on the cross, but it is the Word of God that crucifies us. And He can use people or circumstances or situations to create the environment. And it's usually a pretty good environment, but the part that puts self to death is when we grasp, when we're able to cooperate with that influence and lock on to that chunk of truth, the scripture, the Word of God, that relates to that particular situation. It may be humility. It may be submitting to authorities. It may be something I believe it's when we lock onto the specific truth that God is, that we see God is trying to use these circumstances to work into our life. And then we reach out and believe it and grab it and lock onto it and thank God that this particular situation is providing me the opportunity to believe your word in this area. And that kills, that's the crucifying factor that kills the flesh, that kills the self. I'm thinking of a situation when God brought the children of Israel out of bondage, took them out of bondage. First place he took them was into the wilderness, took them right into the wilderness. And if you haven't listened to David's teaching on, I don't know if it's wilderness, it's changed a few times, but it was wilderness living, or how to live in the wilderness, or whatever it is. I think he's got about a dozen teachings on it, but it is really good in that when the very moment that we believe God's word in whatever situation we're in, we enter into that wilderness, that place of trusting not in ourself, but in God's supply through that process, because in the wilderness, you don't have resources of your own. And so I guess I'm kind of equating the same thing, the wilderness, moving into the wilderness, and then being in that environment and having to train yourself to reach out and grab that truth of God. And then I'm thinking even of another example there when they were in the wilderness and they were moaning and groaning, and God sent serpents into their midst. And of course, there was all kinds of complaints and everything because people were getting bitten and, you know, dying and everything like that. And so God told Moses to put, so they wanted him to take that influence away. But God didn't take it away. He gave them a serpent on a pole and a responsibility to take and by faith look at that pole, and that that serpent bite would go away, or they wouldn't be bitten, or whatever it was, they would be healed. So it's the transition there of again, am I going to trust self through this wilderness environment, or am I going to trust God's word in this thing and find? And it's at that point, I believe, is when the crucifixion of self happens, is when we embrace that word and choose that rather than ourself. But anyway, that's just what I was thinking.
Amen. That's good. Go ahead, Tim.
Kind of got the Reader's Digest version of what Pat was saying as far as putting yourself to death, and that seems to be pretty effective method throughout history, is just speak the word of God and follow him. Satan, and bring up some old friends around to put you to death real quick. just by following the word of God, you know, you're putting the old man to death either voluntarily or involuntarily.
Amen. All right, anybody else? There's a lot of good stuff in the chat, too. Amen. I see it all. I just ain't got time to say it all on the air here. You know, when God brings us to see all there is to see in God, in Christ. And when we receive Christ fully, then that power of Christ's death comes upon us, and we can die to sin at that point. And we get the faith. God gives us the faith to do that when we walk and we keep our eyes on him. We rest in the knowledge that he's working that out in us. And you see the power of God come on you during those times when you before couldn't overcome, but now God's power, because you see Christ in it, gives you that overcoming power to overcome that flesh. We want to please God more than we want to please ourselves. All right, anybody else? You know, it's easy to, you know, we can sit here and we can expound on this probably all night long if we wanted to. But the thing of it is, we need to put it in practice, don't we? Keeping our mind on Jesus and praying that the Lord will fill us up with his Holy Spirit to lead us daily, minute by minute. When we do that, we'll be overcomers. We believe that God is working it in us. It's all by faith in his grace, like Jenny said earlier. Yeah, Lord, help us obey God's word. So that we can die. Amen. All right, anybody else? Yes, David.
Earlier I had a thought come to me, and the thought was that self is a tool of destruction. Because example, how I even ended up in Tennessee, that's my example. I don't know if many of you heard how that back when I joined, I joined with Theo and Lana at their house, and we were praying for my brother's company because I wasn't getting paid. I was running out of money. And then I tried to take things in my hands, and I started searching jobs with things I knew how to do. And I was like, I want to go here. This sounds like a good place and whatnot. And nothing was going right. I went to 2 interviews and nothing. It was just closed doors. And then one night we went to visit Peter, Theo's brother. And he's like, well, I just applied out of state and something hit me at that point. And I was like, and I came home, I was like, God, I'm sorry I took this into my hands. I knew I was messing this whole thing up because there's nothing I could do with my own hands at that point. I was like, my Lord, I was like, I give it all up to your hands and I'm stepping back. Just like you told Moses at the Red Sea, wait, just wait. Even though the enemy's coming after you, just wait. And I stepped back. I was like, I know I'm running out of money, but God will always be on time. And I was like, God, it's all in your hands. And next day I get a phone call from the company I work at today. And they're like, are you willing to drive 7 hours for an interview? I was like, yes, I'll be there. And till this day, I can't even get over the fact how perfect this job is. It's something I love doing most, and it was beyond anything I had in mind what I wanted to do. And that's what happens when you give it all up to God and when He takes over.
Amen. That's exactly right, too. Praise you, Lord, for doing that for David and Elena. Hey, Elena, what's that baby do?
She's due tomorrow.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Lord, we just thank you that she's going to have a good, easy birth, and it's going to be a nice time for everybody. In the name of Jesus. I bet y'all are excited, aren't you?
Oh, very. Can't wait.
All right. All right. Awesome. Thank you, Lord, for this new birth. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. What time tomorrow, Greg says?
Hopefully early.
Okay.
When the Lord's time is.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Lord, we thank you both. Mama and the baby's going to be fine, and they're going to be healthy, and everything's going to be just lovely. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Lana or Fia?
Hey, I actually just wanted to ask for prayer. It reminded me, since we're talking to Elena here, my mother-in-law just got back from California visiting her sister who is sick with cancer. And she's having a slow recovery from the flight. Her blood pressure is up. So I just wanted to pray against that. Okay. She really wants to go out and be with Elena as soon as Elena goes into labor. And we don't know if that hopefully will be this weekend or not. And so looking at a lot of traveling, and I'm just wanting to lift mom up in prayer so that this blood pressure will normalize and that she'll be very well rested if we do need to travel this weekend. So just agree with me that Father God, I lift up my mother-in-law to you and her precious caring heart and soul, Father God, as she tries to see all her loved ones in such a short time, Father God. You see how hard this recovery from this flight is for her. For some reason, she's been attacked with a high blood pressure. So we come against that. We bind that up in the name of Jesus. And we ask that you heal her, Father God, and give her a quick recovery and prepare the way if and when we do travel this week. And in Jesus' name, I pray and glorify your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. It is done. That high blood pressure is not high blood pressure anymore. And it's normal. In the name of Jesus. All right. We also need to pray for Missy. She said, please pray for me to have wisdom about having dinner with my family. And that, you know, how to talk to my son, Matt, about him and Megan not wanting to have dinner with my mom and dad, along with everyone else. Okay, well, Lord, we just lift up Missy to you, and we thank you, Father, for giving her the right words, the very right words to say that would ease tension, and that Matt and Megan would come and eat with all of them, and that it would be a great and fulfilling time, Lord. We thank you, Father, that Missy will have time to say the words that you want her to say to bring some more of Christ in there. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We break the power of faction in that family right now in Jesus' name and cast it out of there. We thank you, Father, that love is the word, L-O-V-E, in that family in Jesus' name. We break up. Matter of fact, we cast out all kinds of Jezebel spirits or any kind of factious spirits in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. She's going to be fine. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? I'll see you, boy. Raising your hand like you want to say something. You just like your daddy. You like to talk. And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Go ahead, Anna.
I want to pray for David and Alina, if you don't mind, for the birth. And I just want to say, too, that with Obadiah, when I had, we have two little boys, and when I had Obadiah, I wasn't really fighting with the the recovery after the birth. You know, I wasn't really, I was in a lot of pain. I wasn't really fighting. I wasn't taking up my sword and saying, hey, wait a second, I'm healed, you know. I wasn't really doing that. And it was I was in pain and bleeding for like 2 months. It was a long thing. But with Elisha, I had a lot of bleeding when I gave birth to Elisha, and I had tearing and all these things. But I had so much quicker of a recovery with Elisha because I just started staying on the word of God. And I said, no, I'm healed. I don't receive this. And I was fighting, and I just had so much quicker. And I just knew that it was just a miracle of God. And so I just wanted to pray for you guys too, that it would be a good birth. And Lord, I just thank you that you, what you taught me, Lord, with Elisha, Lord, that I didn't have to be under the normal curses of, oh, you'll bleed for 6 weeks, or you'll do this, or you'll do that, or whatever. And Lord, you just showed me that I'm not under the curse, and that none of us are under the curse, Lord, when we walk by faith. And I just thank you, Lord, that Elena is going to have such a wonderful labor, Lord. It's going to be so easy, and everything will just be orchestrated by you, Lord, that everyone who's supposed to be there before will be there on time in Jesus' name. It'll be such an easy labor, and it'll be a good transition for Adelina, Lord, that is just going to be so smooth. And we just forbid any tearing or any hemorrhaging or any of the stuff that they say can happen or whatever when you're under the curse, Lord, because we know that the pain of childbearing is a curse that you bore for us. And I just thank you, Father. This is just going to be such a pleasant birth and a pleasant baby and a healthy baby. And it's going to be just such a wonderful experience, Lord, that your presence would be there with them through every step of it. In Jesus' name, I just thank you, Lord, that Elena's going to have such a wonderful recovery as well. She's going to be up and around right away, and the bleeding's not going to take the time that they say it will. And she's going to just be totally healed inside, and everything's just going to be so good. The baby's just going to be sleeping all night right away, and it's not going to have any trouble with breastfeeding, and everything's just going to be so good, and it's just going to be a miracle and a testimony, and I just thank you for it, Father. I thank you for this little life that you've given to them, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Did you have your thumb on the microphone, sitting there thumbing it?
Maybe. I don't know. Sorry. Was it not clear?
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. We heard you. We heard. She can put about an hour and a half of prayer in a 5-minute prayer. I'm telling you, that girl, she's quick. We let her, when we get close to an end of a chapter, we let her read it. Because we'll get out of there quicker. She reads fast, too, boy. She goes, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing. All right. That was a good prayer. It was. We believe it with her. In Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else? We still got some time here, boy and girls. What about a Greg?
Yeah, amen.
All right. I like your expounding.
Preach it, bro.
Yes, no, we've got to get on there. What was it? The verse that came to me before, we were talking about, you know, do we kill ourselves? Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Let's climb back up on the altar.
Amen.
And self, the world doesn't revolve around, you know, you or you or you. It revolves around me. So as the world works it out, it's all going to get look so much better.
Oh, Lord, help us. Thank you, Lord. That's some knowledge. Malcolm, what do you think?
I do think.
Well, praise God.
I was just talking to somebody that, a former pastor who kind of got burned out or whatever, but I was just thinking it would be great if he could get on this call someday. I think he'd like it. I just think it's such a relaxed group of people that so just love to be together and praise the Lord and pray and lift each other up in faith. I like Anna's prayer about, you know, just walking by faith through something that sometimes could be hard and just let the Lord take care of things.
Amen. But one thing I do want to mention, we had a warning from the Lord to seek him more than we seek the news again. So apparently some of us are doing that, guilty. So I had to repent. I'm not going to worry with it. I'm just going to let the Lord. What he said was this. He said, why do you want to seek these people that are lost for your news when you could come to me and get the right news? You know, essentially, it's what he said. So that's what I'm going to do. All right. Go ahead,
Reed. Timothy Dixon's got lots of news. A lot of news right there. Next few days. In the coming days. That's pretty
good.
So go ahead, Ria.
Yeah, they do. They keep kicking the can a little forward each day, don't they? Go ahead, Claire and Rian.
We would like to pray for this beautiful little baby who's almost coming out.
Amen.
For the mama and the papa. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful family. Father, it has been such a blessing watching them grow in their faith and being part of this journey with them. And Lord, we are so excited for them to birth this little baby that is made in the image of you. And we just want to put every spiritual blessing from Abraham onto this little one. And thank you, Father, for a beautiful, peaceful experience. We pray that Dave leads his family in an exemplary manner, just as Jesus leads us. We pray that Elena is not going to be tired. We bind tiredness, anxiety, stress, and that feeling of, oh, just come already, in the name of Jesus, so that she exudes patience and self-control in all things. And we pray a special blessing onto little baby Adelina, who is such a cutie. And we know that she is going to love this little baby sister from the moment she lays eyes on her. And she's going to watch her mommy, and it's going to be the best training for her. Thank you, Lord, for blessing them. I rebuke all slander, negative words, and self-talk. I rebuke any spirit that might want to come in to this environment of birthing with another agenda. And we proclaim that the will of God will be executed in the name of Jesus.
Lord, I also pray that we just come against any spirits, Lord, or any bad report that would want to be spoken over them, Lord. And we just bind that now in the name of Jesus, because you say what's bound on earth is bound in heaven. No one will be allowed to speak any bad report, Lord, because you have ordained this, the day and this baby, Lord, from the foundation of the world. You've already said it, and it is established in your word that they will have a pain-free natural birth, Lord, without any complications, Lord. We claim that now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. We send forth your midwife angels now in the name of Jesus to get everything ready and to minister to them, Lord, and put a hedge of protection around them, Father, so they would only be filled with your spirit and be praising your name, Lord, throughout it all. We are so excited, Lord. We praise your name for this miracle. And we thank you, Father. We cannot wait to see and hear your testimony and the beautiful baby and the good report, Father. Thank you for that. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. That's a good prayer for both of them. That's going to be such a lovely baby. Thank you, Lord. go ahead, Patrick.
Well, I pulled my hand down, but I'll go ahead and say it anyway. That's all right. You got me now. You got me. I just wanted to thank Rion for that example. He's talking about the list, taking that list and tossing it away type thing. I know that obviously that's true, but it just started me to thinking about, you know, that list being gone. And then what does self do? It digs it right back up and starts, you know, and then the devil takes that list and starts going through that list. And you start agreeing with that list. Yeah, you're right. That's in there. We get that's bothering me again or whatever. Instead of going back and making sure that list is tossed out. It hit me. That was just a very clear and good example. So appreciate that.
Amen. I am excited, Lord of God, about this new baby. Because I know David and Lena's going to bring them all out here one day. I'll be able to take them riding on my tractor. Lord of God. All right. All right, anybody else got anything on sale? Just kill it. Amen. You know what's interesting about this group? I never felt as free in this group right here as I have here just in the last year or so. Free to go over and not make anybody mad. You know what I'm saying? We did that last week. We've done it before. We've gone 30 minutes past time before. And I never ran anybody off. I said, well, my gracious, look at here. These people love each other. Glory to God. And it's great. It's awesome to be a part of this fellowship here. And, you know, you hear us talk about the local fellowship, but they hear me talk about y'all. Because that's what I do. I brag on y'all. Because y'all, this is part of the whole fellowship of Christ right here. And I love every one of you. I know we make a lot of fun, but that's part of it. You just have to live with me till God gets me all straightened out here. Praise the Lord. Sue's sleepy. Look at her. She's about to go to sleep right there in the chair.
We're stuck with each other. It's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is, brother. We can't change it, can we?
There's some folks I'd like to pray for.
Yes.
How's that sound? I've got this person I was talking to has a nephew who's got, his name is Ernie. He's had a number of issues growing up, but he's got pancreatic cancer. At least that's what they're claiming. And a bunch of complications are developing, and the chemo isn't working and whatnot. So I just want to pray for him. I told him I would pray for him. I didn't say how, but anyway, Lord, I just bring up Ernie to you. You know, the difficulties he's had growing up and whatnot, and now he's got this this cancer. Lord, I just pray that you make him an example in their family, that they won't, they'll be forced to recognize that you did it somehow. They're all kind of resigned to his fate, but we don't believe in fate here, Lord. I just an opportunity for you to show your hand. So somehow I pray that you get faith going among his relatives, and that he make a full recovery. And with this huge revival coming, we don't want to put everything off to the revival time. We want to pray right now. But I know you're going to be really cutting loose here pretty soon, and we're all excited about that. So, Lord, I thank you for giving Ernie life, health, strength, and be a tremendous testimony. Also, I want to pray for some friends I renewed. I got to see them after the first time, I guess, since about 76, I guess. I don't know. It's been a while. But, Lord, I want to pray for their mother, who's apparently got heart problems, and she believes in you. She may not understand all the gospel, but she has put her trust in you and doesn't want to see the doctors anymore or go to the hospital or anything. So, Lord, I just pray you take that situation and fill her with faith and to just go ahead and not trust in man or put her trust in the arm of flesh, but to trust in you. And I pray, Lord, for their whole family, Lord, that they just be, they come around, you'll grant them all repentance, and they'll be seeking you with their whole hearts. Also, I pray for one of the sons who's a medical doctor in India, and he's going back and having to get the COVID-19 test. Lord, I just pray against any of those nanoparticles that might be on the swabs they're going to use. I declare them null and void. I just pray that he and his wife back in India, Lord, that if they're back there when all the earthquakes happen, that you will just use them mightily in your kingdom over there. and the great revival coming. We know it's coming there as well, where Thomas went a long time ago. Your faithful servant Thomas, who died there up on that mountain. You saw the whole thing. So, Lord, I just thank you for all these things, and in Jesus' holy name.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Did you say he was saved, Malcolm?
Well, the family I was just praying about, they've been missionaries all their lives.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, I'm praying for that people come out of the system they're in and be totally nothing between them and the Lord anymore.
Yeah, totally. Sold out to Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. To the religion. That's what a lot of them do. They're sold out to the religion and not Jesus. Lord, yeah. We thank you for doing that for all of our family members.
I think they got both. I remember this guy years ago saying, he had his whole line of sermons, and he kept talking about, is it Jesus or do you have Jesus and something else? Is it Jesus or is it Jesus and something else? He kept, talking about different examples of, how that might be. It's something to really think about, whether it's your denomination or if it's like we were talking about tonight, things that distract us.
Maybe. I wanted to ask Dirk and Paula, how's it going over there in your new place? Cape Town.
All is well. We're doing well. And we're settling in nicely. There's quite a lot of people we've been meeting. So that's good. And yes, at this stage, we're waiting on the Lord for next steps. He has answered a lot of questions. So we're just waiting for that fulfillment.
Okay.
That will happen soon, yes.
All right. Yeah, it was good to see y'all and Petra getting together and partying. I don't know what y'all are doing, y'all down there partying. Having a good time with each other. That's good. Glad to see that.
Lovely.
Amen. It was such a lovely visit. It was. Praise the Lord. I love it when y'all say that. That's just so awesome. Okay. Anybody else? We got just a few minutes here. Maybe, let's see, Pat, I can't get to you, Pat. No, go ahead, I'm just kidding.
Oh, you hurt my feelings.
Oh, no.
I just wanted to pray.
Self, remember.
It was somebody else's feelings. I want to pray for Ernie's, Ernie. I didn't catch the rest of the names, but Father, I'm just impressed to ask you, Lord, just to bring a spirit of repentance on Ernie and give him the ability, just bring it to his mind to start forgiving those who he is possibly holding grudges against. Lord, that you would just cut loose a spirit of forgiveness in his heart. Just to systematically go through his life and just to forgive and just to put all of those things down. Lord, even I just feel compelled to thank you for that. Thank you for that spirit of repentance you're giving him right now, Lord. We realize that your healing many times has to be unleashed and allowed to function in us, Lord, as we believe you. And we just bind any kind of a spirit of rejection, resistance, or a spirit of anger, a spirit of disappointment, anything that would cause is him from receiving your faith, your truth, your healing that you want to bring into his life. And so I just thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for your strength. I thank you that you brought him right to this place for a specific purpose, and you're going to fulfill that within him. And we just trust you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? We've got about a minute left. We have an invitation. It looks like an open invitation to go to Tysi. Tysi? Is that what you call it? Tysi. So, what time? Oh, it's open? Open invite right there. Okay. All right. We'll be there. We'll be the private jet. Yeah. We got UBM jets out there. We can do that. That's what the jets we use, you know. Lord, we just thank you for an awesome time tonight. We thank you, Father, for your clarity in this thing called self tonight. I think we had some real good advice and some real good words, and we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you are doing this work in us, that you're killing us, all of us, to be just like you, Lord. Because you died, you said you don't do nothing unless the Father tells you. And that's where we want to be, Lord. We want to be right in his shoes. We want to be able to look in the mirror and see nothing but Jesus. And we do it all by faith right now anyway. And Father, we just praise you. We glorify you for the work that you're doing in each and every one of us. And Lord, I cast down any condemnation on anybody tonight. For anything in Jesus' name, that we are righteous by faith. We're sanctified by the faith that God's given us. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Give us all a good night's sleep tonight. Praise God. And we thank you for it, Father. And Lord, we just ask and we pray that you be with us and lead us and guide us through the morrow. We just go a moment at a time. We keep our eyes on you and we understand, Lord, that you're going to lead us in the right direction at all times, at every minute of the day. And thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, good night, y'all. God bless you.